Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. We will be taking you all the way up until noon today. We've got Astros baseball coming up later on tonight at 5:40 right here on The Score, and the Rangers and White Sox will play on Double T 97.3 at 6:30. As always, want your comments at the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can get that through the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. Also, as always, the Benchmark hotline is wide open, 806-771-0973. All our guests appear through the Benchmark hotline. It is a Dos Jefes edition of the program. What is up, Jeff McGuire? I am Jeff Haxton, by the way.
You're the first Jeff.
I'm Geoff. Geoff and Hefe.
It's the first Jeff today. This is your show. You are the first Jeff. I am the dos of the Dos Jefes.
Dos. You make it the dos. What's up, man? How's it like to be on a show you didn't know you were going to be on?
The schedule's out. I just didn't look.
The schedule's been out.
It's not anybody's fault but my own.
Long time.
But that's the fun thing about working in this business is that I feel like I can jump in here with anybody at any given time and be ready to go. And you make it easy, and Lucas makes it easy, and Sparkman later will make it easy. So let's rock and roll. It's today is, for me, the second checkbox for football season for college.
Media day?
Because it's the local media day.
When does that go off?
I think in like an hour or so is when they start getting ready for some of that.
I'm cleaned down there or something?
Mr. Woodman will be going down there, which is why I'm here.
Okay, good.
I will be getting to hear from the coaches this afternoon.
And Choice is on this afternoon, too.
Yeah. So all good things and hear from the coaches. And let's not draw any straws here. We're not learning anything today.
No.
But everything hearing is great. How they're going to be doing some things and hearing from the coaches officially in this manner is one of the boxes that gets checked off for it's football season.
Yeah. Lucas, what's up, man? You sold that card yet?
No, but I did sell two other cards and made $750. So it's just kind of...
Big bucks, Lucas.
You play the game. Sometimes you just got to wait for the right buyer. So definitely going to wait for the... $2,000 card to sell. Probably going to hold it till at least October, November.
Halloween treat.
Might take it to a couple shows because I feel like it's one of those cards that...
Lucas has a card that only 10 have been made, period. Yes. Just 10 of.
And I feel like it's a card that you can't really sell here in Lubbock, but I could take it to Dallas or a bigger show and find more people interested into it. So...
I had a blast listening to the Morning Drive coming in, talking about the future relationship of one Perry Haxton with Megan Woodman, as she will be one of Perry's teachers coming up this year. I got a good kick out of that. Somebody brought it up on the chat line, as a matter of fact, and I got a nice little smiling roll in. There's also some beautiful clouds off to the east.
Okay.
The sun shooting through, the rays, see a little bit of rainfall.
When I came in this morning... I could see no clouds because it was very, very dark, and it should surprise you to no degree that I have not seen a window since I came into the building today.
No, wouldn't.
I'm in there, and then I came in here. My window time would be like right now normally when I could look out the other window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the drug deals going down in the backyard.
Yes.
And fights.
Like, I'm really surprised. Really surprised that we haven't been asked to have our camera borrowed.
Oh, no
kidding. For some surveillance.
Yeah, we've seen some things go down. My man Keith back there said, yeah, we had another fight, another drug deal. Anyway, that's in the backyard of the new Raymar compound with, a wall going up. Coming up at 9:45, Jeff, we're going to go through this exercise. We're going to go...
It's not like... push-ups or anything, right?
No, okay. Goodness. Whew. God, that's another whole...
Just a little worried. You guys have done the End of the Bench Olympics, and I'm just making sure that this isn't, like, you know, part of that.
I tell you, man, at this age, if you're not completely just not doing anything, you're gonna hurt. Like if you're if you do anything, like I got involved again in like a 20-minute workout on YouTube, and I haven't been able to walk since. This girl just destroyed me with squats. And then I the last 2 days I've thrown batting practice, one to Perry's team and one to just Perry. We got us a lesson from Cam Warren last night. That was
nice.
That was good.
That's a good guy to get it from.
Good hitting lesson. And so, yeah, my entire right shoulder feels like it's going to fall off. But at 9:45, we're going to rank Texas Tech's football opponents from easiest to toughest, 12 being easiest, 1 being toughest.
Okay.
We're going to rank all of them because it is a steady schedule, I think. It is front-loaded when you think about the top half, I think, as far as the first half being more difficult than the second.
Would agree.
But it is also still pretty consistent with a lot of competition. So we'll get to that at 9:45. Choice put out his thoughts on the upcoming season. You can look at that at DoubleT973.com. They went over that just a little bit this morning on the morning drive. Easy number 12. And then after that, it's going to be fun. Fun exercise.
Okay, I'm in.
Actually, is that an easy number 12?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That means
12?
You don't have any clue what I'm talking about.
Uh-uh.
No, number 12 being the easiest, is that easy? In other words.
Oh, as in?
Murray State or Kansas.
Easy. Yes, that's easy.
You sure?
Yes, for me it is.
Kansas is tougher?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll be doing that at 9:45, of course, highs and lows at 10:15. And burning questions also coming up at 10:30. Checking the calendar, doing all our normal things here on a Thursday in the LBK. Lucas, sir, what are the steps to have an autograph authenticated? Russell Wilson's autograph last week at training camp, !
Well, there are a couple of companies that certify that will give you a certificate of authenticity. Just go to PSA website or Beckett. I think for Beckett, it's like $30. You'll send it to Dallas. They'll verify it, and then they'll just send it back with a certificate of authenticity. And there you go. It's plain and easy, just $30-$35. It takes about a week or so, and then maybe 2 weeks, and you'll get it back with authenticity. So it's that easy.
Does it come back with the case if it's a card or anything, or do you have to supply that case?
Yes.
So you're spending $35 and getting a really nice case.
Yeah.
Depending
on what company you're using.
For sure. Yeah.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Baltimore owns Texas, at least the Rangers portion of Texas. 6-3 Baltimore gets the win. The Rangers continue to plummet and didn't beat Baltimore all year long. First time that's ever happened. 46-58, 21-29 at home for Texas. The Orioles are 54-51. They now switch to the White Sox. The Rangers do tonight at 6:30 on DoubleT973.
I predict the Rangers will snap.
Oh, now they're playing streak. Your White Sox, huh?
Yes, because as bad as the Texas Rangers have been playing lately, and let's be honest, they've been playing bad, my White Sox have been playing worse.
Your White Sox won. They beat the Royals.
Those games don't count because it's the Royals.
Because the Royals are really bad.
Right. Like, if you asked me who would win
between... How long ago was their championship?
The White Sox? Or the Royals?
Royals.
17? 16? 17?
It's not that long ago, boys.
No, but they've done a complete rollover since then.
Big wrecking ball.
Just like what the Nats are now.
Yeah, very good comparison. Just different divisions, yeah. The National League 15. And American League version, 15.
Okay. 15.
Houston beat Boston 6-1. Houston is now 68-38. They will take on Cleveland tonight at 5:40 on 100.7 The Score. Right here, you can listen to Astros baseball. Going to hear from Texas Tech in a lot of ways when it comes to football as Media Day, local Media Day, has arrived. So the local folks will be able to get down there and get some good audio, make their sportscast look and sound pretty. And we'll also be getting some audio from that event coming up this morning over at the Jones area. Tough news for UConn and their women's basketball program. Paige Buechers tore her ACL in a pickup game. She's going to miss the entire upcoming season. May have been a leader in points for the entire country. That's how good she is. Russian prosecutors want 9.5 years for Brittany Griner. She says she never meant to break any laws. You know the story. She's still hung up in courts. And we don't know if there's going to be the prisoner exchange, which we've heard about. But 9.5 years. Oh, jeez.
I mean, I'm not a fan of hers in any way, shape, or form. But does that ever work? I didn't mean to break the law. Does that ever work? Is that ever a good excuse? Like, I put that up there in the category of don't you know who I am. That never works. If you're using that as your excuse, you've already lost.
You know who I am?
I do know who you are, but I'm not a police officer busting you for your inspection being out either.
That's amazing. It's amazing because I got popped 3 times, and all 3 of them let me go. And then the last guy, I was just used to being let go. And he's like, all right, I'll be back. I'm going to write you a ticket. I go, what? You're writing me a ticket?
Yes, he's writing you a ticket.
And he goes, yeah, I write everyone a ticket every time for this. Every time. So I wasn't expecting it. I don't know. Got popped. And then I got popped twice on the way to Possum Kingdom and back.
I've actually done the opposite with regards to being pulled over and given the officer a ticket. It was a concert ticket. I was on my way to a free concert location for one of our music stations. And I was not paying attention to what I was doing. It was my fault. I was ready to get a ticket. And he gave me a warning. And I said, hey, by the way, would you like a ticket? Like, that's where I'm going is the ticket location, and they were free. I wasn't breaking any rules, but
who was it?
I don't remember the show.
Coolio?
No, this was years ago. So long ago, we had to drop the Y.
Prince?
No, it was a country act. The reason I don't remember who it was.
The reason I bring up Prince is I watched
Raspberry Beret.
The documentary about 99 Woodstock that popped onto Netflix yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. What's crazy is that's going on in my heyday, right? 99?
Yes. That's right in the realm of your debauchery.
And I didn't even really know what was going on.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew what was going on.
I guess I just
missed it.
Didn't know. It was before a lot of the internet and stuff, so I don't know. But that was a mess, boy. I'm so glad I didn't go to that. So glad I didn't know about it.
Would you have gone?
No.
Really?
No. Good Lord, no. What a mess.
Well, not knowing it was going to be
anyway,
a mess.
They circulated rumors around that there was going to be somebody after the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it might be Prince. But they'd heard Michael Jackson, Bob Dylan, like, somebody was going to close out the show after the Chili Peppers. Do you know that when they started setting everything on fire at Woodstock,
mm-hmm.
that the Red Hot Chili Peppers came back out on stage and said and sang Jimi Hendrix Fire?
No, I didn't know that.
Did you not know
that?
I
did not know that part. That's
awesome.
So
they're like, we can't let these guys go back out. They're making people crazy. Of course, Korn and Fred Durst, they'd made people crazy all weekend long. They booed Jewel off the stage and just craziness. But yeah, they go back out there. They're like, we don't know if we can let you guys back out there. We're going to let you. Anthony Kiedis, can you go down there and calm these guys down? He goes, yeah, sure. I'll go out there and calm them down. Let me stand next to your fire. And everything's burning. Gah!
I have been at the experience of a concert where the closing act was not there. And the second to last, what ended up being the closing act, came out and did an entire second set with different material than they did the one before.
Really?
That was fantastic. I have seen a couple of reports of that happening where it wasn't the closing act in one of them. It was one of the opening acts that was ready to hear the closing act that was kind of hanging out backstage and like came in and rocked the place and did a second set, and it was awesome.
Dude, they had no water. They took all their water from them coming in. Like, you couldn't bring any water in, any drinks in. And so you got 200,000 people just basically...
bad planning.
Heat stroke.
Yes.
And for 200,000 people, I was like... good Lord.
The first Woodstock, and I wasn't there, but was largely a concert, to have a concert. Second Woodstock was a concert to make money.
There you go. And you nailed it. That's the gist of the documentary, right?
And
there.
I'm not saying that making money is evil. I would not be here if I was not being paid. I would be at home with my dog. But I would also be trying to figure out how to afford dog food. So I enjoy the fact that I'm here being paid. There is a line, though. You've got to put the concert on and take care of the people who are paying to be in your concert, and they failed at the second part.
Let's see. Phil and Bryson and some of these golfers that left to go to the LIV are upset they're not being let back into the PGA, so they're filing a lawsuit.
Oh, I want to be the judge in this case so bad.
The PGA put out a pretty scathing press release/letter to its constituents, kind of saying why they're not letting these guys back in to the PGA. It's a lot of barking back and forth. Right now, according to the lawsuit filed by LIV Golf members, PGA Tour players who appeared in the first three LIV golf tournaments, a group that includes Mickelson, Gooch, Swafford, Jones, Uihlein, Poulter, are facing nearly 2 years suspensions from the tour through at least March 31st, 2024. And they're claiming that this is not fair, getting lawyers involved.
Isn't Phil Mickelson divorced?
No, I think he's still married.
I thought he had an ex-wife. Were they having an issue
short
for a while?
Blondie. I'm sure they have, because he gambles away millions of dollars.
Anyhow, so I would love to be the judge in this. Not because I think what those golfers did was wrong, because they're going after a paycheck. You do you, to quote Jamie Lynn. But y'all left, and when they said they don't want you back, now you're upset? Wait a minute. Again, you left. They told you if you left, you wouldn't get to come back. And now you're upset that they're following through.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench from 100.7 The Score on a Thursday. Thank you for being with us. Don't forget you can get in touch with us through that Yates Flooring Center chat line. First time, well, get that 100.7 The Score mobile app, and then you can type in and mouth me. I'm Hacks, and McGuire as well. He gets his fair share of getting mouthed. For dos jefes.
Lots of reasons.
Lots of reasons. Lots of disagreements with McGuire.
Not hard to find Lucas something you disagree with me on.
Lucas is everybody's friend.
I mean, why wouldn't he be?
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Actually, we agree on that.
You could tell the Ponch and Johns that you didn't mean to speed. Mm-hmm. I could. I didn't mean to speed. It wasn't my fault. I didn't do it.
Did you? Were you in the car pushing the accelerator?
Mm-mm.
You weren't?
No.
Were you in the cruise control?
No, my cruise control won't turn on.
So you were pushing the accelerator?
The dragging charger. Listen, out of all these pullovers... which there's been like six.
There haven't been for speeding.
One has been for going too fast. And I was on that nobody on the stinking road trying to get back home, and I crested the hill, and there just happened to be a hypo there.
Looking for people doing exactly what you did.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, going down there, I was going like 95.
Okay. But you deserve this ticket.
When I got popped, I was going 82.
Again... still deserve this ticket.
I didn't get a ticket. I got a warning.
Then you don't get to complain.
I'm not complaining.
Okay.
I'm just telling
people. If you're not complaining, I say if you aren't complaining.
People think, because of the show, that I drive like a madman.
Well,
I don't.
You just admitted to doing 90.
That's not driving like a madman. That's trying to get someplace.
Oh. But if a motorcyclist shoots Patchy, he's doing 90 on the loop.
I don't have any problem with that.
Okay. Because I hear that, too, when people find out that I ride a motorcycle. My motorcycle
really?
Won't do 90.
Let's yeah, I was going to say, your little machine out there is probably not getting to 90.
But, I mean, it might downhill with a good tailwind.
Would you get that all the time, right? In Lubbock.
Oh, you know, a little parachute, a little help in the out thing. You know, motorcycle grinders are crazy. You know, they're doing wheelies. I'm not doing a wheelie on mine either.
Man, I almost killed a motorcyclist once, and I was just trying.
And it wasn't me.
This was in Glenpool, or Jinx. I was trying to get home, and so the previous car I had just had an awful bar on the windshield, so the side, it was just wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going up, and so I look right, look left, nobody there, hit the accelerator, boom, right in front of me. And he was just hiding in that spot where I couldn't see it. I just felt so terrible. I was like, man, I got to be extra careful with that thing, because he was just hiding right in that deal. But he gave me the finger and everything was fine, which I deserved because I almost killed him.
See?
Yeah. So watch out for the motorcycles out there, everybody.
And motorcycle drivers, don't be stupid.
Mm.
Like, it is both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Treat everyone like they're an assassin,
you know, many times?
Trained to kill you. That is how you ride a motorcycle.
You know how many times I've ridden a motorcycle? None. Zero. Nada.
Yeah, I'm somewhere. If I had to guess, I'm somewhere in the 1,000 range.
Hacks, I'm going to need a stack of autographed photos to get me out of tickets. I got you, baby. Caught a video on YouTube talking about if college football teams were stocks, Texas Tech would be the biggest stock to buy right now. Hard to argue. You're just you're banking on this program doing something it hasn't done in many, many years, but you think it's going to happen. And with the commitment to NIL and the facilities and all the things that we're seeing, they'd be a good stock to buy. Low right now, especially nationally, and has the ability to really boom. So that makes sense.
You could
don't talk to me about buying stocks right now. Jiminy.
Okay. I won't.
Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, you said don't talk to me about buying stocks. I'm listening to my show host.
No, you're about to say something.
To parallel with that.
Oh, jeez. I've lost $60 since we started this segment. Sorry.
I didn't take it from you, did I?
No, you didn't.
Okay, good. Did you sell your stock in this segment?
No.
Then you haven't lost your money yet.
That's true.
You know when you lost your money?
Yeah, when you sell.
When you bought the stock is when you lost your money.
Mm.
You have the stock. As long as you don't sell it, you still have the stock. The value of the stock has gone down.
Down 64%.
But you haven't lost any money yet.
Just like sports cards.
See?
They go hand in hand.
You haven't lost any money yet.
I'd be bad at that too.
Any more money, I should say. How much did you buy the stock for?
Oh, it was just about a bunch of growth stocks.
Okay. And have they grown?
No.
Or are they all shrunk?
It's been awful.
That's not good.
Growth stocks have taken a beating.
Don't do that.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
We're in the First United Bank Studios. Glad it's cooling off up in here. It's much better. Good job, Jeff. Cooling the system.
Well, I know where
system.
The thermostat is, that helps.
Okay. Just making. Appreciate it. Just letting you know.
The problem is, though, I bet Lucas can hang meat in there right now.
Oh, yeah, but that's the way it should be. Sir Roderick Thompson is talking. Also, Baron Morton. Baylor Cup with a little bit of a mullet going on over there. Speaking with the media. And, for some reason, I thought this was kind of like in the talking stages here on maybe a plea deal or a bargain or something. I don't know. But Brittany Griner has been sentenced to 9 years behind bars in Russia.
Sentenced?
Sentenced.
Well. There you go.
That was just about 19 minutes ago. So the news is coming out.
You seem very fixated on this.
I think it's an interesting story. I mean, it's an American who's fairly well known, who is now going to be spending 9 years in a Russian prison. I mean, there's politics involved in this. There's a lot of things involved in it. I'm not spending entire segments on it.
No, but
I mean, an American citizen is behind bars in a different country. So I think it's worth mentioning.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you seem to be very interested in this.
Let's see. A million rubles fine. That's about $16,300. So, you know, the ruble, not exactly strong. In all likelihood, Griner won't serve the sentence in its entirety. They've been, been negotiating. I didn't know the nickname of the prisoner that we have, that they want. His nickname is the Merchant of Death.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Well, when you're...
9 years.
Over a barrel. Sometimes you don't get what's enjoyable.
John Wilner broke the story for the USC-UCLA departure. Since then, he has been a very popular guy. Wilner Hotline is his handle on Twitter. Pac-12 Hotline, syndicated by several radio stations in Pac-12 land. So he's a Pac-12 guy. Again, he broke that news. Yesterday, he tweeted, 2019 average attendance, Pac-12 minus the LAs, the UCLA and the USCs, was 44,704.
Okay.
The Big 12, taking out Texas and Oklahoma, 49,378. He says, not a significant difference. Plenty of empty seats in both leagues. The only reason I go through this is the Big 12 Conference. The Big 12 Conference official blue checkmarked Twitter page.
Yes.
Responded.
Uh-oh.
With a graph. 2019 football season attendance by percent of capacity of the stadiums. Baylor 1, K-State 2, Iowa State 3, Oklahoma State 4, TCU 5, West Virginia 6, Texas Tech 7, KU 8. In the Pac-12, it's Utah, Oregon, Colorado, Washington, Washington State, Arizona State, and on down to Cal, who's dead last.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get them in the Big Ten there, Newsom. Do that. Not something I don't think we would have seen in the past with Bowlesby as commissioner. Again, Brett Yormark's stated that he wants this conference to be newer, hipper, younger, cooler.
Correct.
And, responding this way, I just thought was interesting. It's not groundbreaking or anything, but I don't think they would have done it in the past.
Ed, welcome to the new boss. Things are changing in the Big 12. Finally feels like, as a longtime member of the Big 12, we finally have a commissioner that is going out there and doing things for the league. I think Bowlesby was holding the Big 12 together with duct tape, bailing wires, and, you know, chewing gum. But part of that is because of the group that was involved in that. And two of them that are leaving, one of them specifically, I think, wanted him that way. And the conference that you have currently and coming together and hooking arms together and walking in the same way and pulling the rope all together, that they want the commissioner to be aggressive and go do things for the betterment of the conference as opposed to individuals.
You know, it just seems like there are a bunch of ways you can go about your business, but sitting on the sidelines
can't be one of them.
This is the way we've always done it. Those lines of thinking get you destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pac-12 had opportunities, man.
They could have killed the Big 12 last year.
Oh, sure.
Death sentence.
Could have tore it apart. And the Big 12, when it got punched, finally, for the fourth time, said, we have got to take some action. And that action was the four schools. Now we'll see It's all going to come down to numbers and whatnot. But just sitting there, that'll get you killed in this college game. And then that's what should make you feel good about the future of Texas Tech Athletics. You can bring it all the way back to home, because I don't think anybody in the country has been more proactive when it comes to NIL than Texas Tech. Between the Matador Club and Cody Campbell and Dusty Womble and the leadership at Texas Tech. Yeah, it might feel kind of uncomfortable. It's not something that we've ever done before, but we better learn how to do it. Because if we don't, others will. We'll be left behind. So what's the other way to go about that? Well, jump out in front of all of it and give $25,000 to everybody. That could come back and bite you. I don't know. But I have personally enjoyed the aggressive nature of Texas Tech and attacking NIL and new opportunities. And I know our student athletes have, at least the football players and the basketball players. I don't know what's going to happen with soccer and the rest of them, but
we will find out quickly.
Interesting, because Griner wasn't able to play the celebrity card with the Russian court. No, they didn't.
Actually, she probably got the 9.5-year sentence because she's a celebrity.
Because she's somebody.
Yep.
Karma. Remember, she sucker-punched Tech's Jordan Barncastle.
I'm not saying she's one of my favorite athletes.
Baylor game and wasn't punished for it. She wasn't punished?
She was, technically. One game from Baylor, one game from the Big 12. Guess who her first game back against was against?
Tech.
That would be correct.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Reggie Pearson is at the table. I would say podium, but they got a bunch of tables spread out over at the indoor for Texas Tech Football Media Day. Always a great day. Reggie Pearson talking about the snubs Texas Tech has got. He said he understands it because of last year, but, quote, it's a different energy this year.
Nice.
Welcome you back for one more here on 100.7 The Score. We got Ask the Benchwarmers coming up. That's from KTXT Sports, by the way. Those guys do a good job, the kiddos. Adrian Fry.
Did you ever answer my question?
What
do you want to hear today at Media Day?
I didn't, because there's really nothing.
Nothing.
No. There's no, I mean, it's just, I think, things that will hopefully feed into more hype and more good feelings. But we've been hyped enough. I mean, I'm to the point now where I've heard a lot of talky-talky. So I'm just ready to see it on the field, what it looks like. So there's really nothing that these guys could say that would really interest me.
What about the coaches? Same thing?
Same thing. I've heard it all. Maybe hear Zach Kittley talk. I think that would be maybe some good stuff.
Maybe how this year's offense is going to be different than what he ran last year with the regards to the talent that he's got.
Well, I mean, how different it'll look from last year's Tech team that really underachieved offensively.
All we have to do is have an offense, and it's a little different than it did last year. I think I want to hear how the players have use their time wisely this summer in preparing for the offseason. Now, they're not going to have that yet because they haven't had their first practice yet, which is kind of the disappointing part of this. I would have their first practice yesterday and then media day today, but I'm not in charge, and there's probably a lot of reasons for that.
Ask the Benchwarmers. We have a couple. If you were in charge of remodeling Danlaw Field, what would be the first thing you do to improve it?
Money, no object, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if that were the case, then we'd have a gigantic baseball complex with a new baseball field, with home plate right where the Coliseum used to be, with the Jones as background beyond left center field, and go ahead and continue your usage of this new clubhouse that you're going to be building and have that be connected in the right center field area to where you just come out of that and you walk into the right center field and you're there. There's, again, that price tag for OSU was so huge because it was everything.
Right. land
indoors.
Yeah.
State of the art, weight, all the stuff that the Texas Tech already has some and will have more of. You don't stop what you're doing there. You just connect it to a new ballpark. That's my.
I want a full covering.
Awning?
Complete.
I think that would look really good.
Not just the stands.
It's a great idea.
I don't necessarily want a dome. Like, complete dome. It'd be cool. I mean, I would build them a dome with a glass background. So as you look out, you still see the beautiful campus of Texas Tech University.
Do you like Seattle, where it's basically just an umbrella?
Yeah. Just completely over the entire field and the stands. So we no longer have to worry about weather. It would be the only one in college that would be like that. So yeah. You get bragging rights. And because I'm one of the people in charge of making sure the broadcast gets on time on the air, that would mean all the start times are good. I'm not saying this isn't self-serving. I'm just saying I would like it.
Yeah, I think I would be similar to Haxton. I maybe wouldn't go quite as far back as the Coliseum. I would definitely pull it back into the street, get some bleachers in left and right field, have the clubhouse, I guess, more so instead of right center field, make it more first base.
Really? So you would, okay, that's fine. That's fine. As long as you're using that land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me, too.
So you've got the clubhouse, where it's going
I've got it pictured as you're coming through the right center field wall. Mm-hmm. Now, you might, Hax, that's a long walk. Well, they make a walk from down the left field line to first base dugout all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not every a big day. Issue.
Yeah.
But I can see where you would try to twist it, mm-hmm. but then that would, I'm trying to keep it the same angle.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do that, uh-huh. you're turning it more east.
Yep.
That changes your jet stream, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so everything about that ballpark that we take for granted.
I guess more so have it, I think, be roughly where Tadlock's office is. The clubhouse would be roughly there.
Okay.
And then it would drift into the dugout, and you've got bleachers built on top of it.
I think you're also cutting into some parking now. But you may be able to put some behind it.
Yeah. Sneed's actually got a good answer for this, too. He wants to put, like, the... you know, when you walk up to the Jones from the north side, you see the giant stadium mm-hmm. that's protecting it from the outside, mm-hmm. right? He wants to do that same thing for Danlaw Field.
I think that would be great.
Because what's the worst part of Danlaw?
All right, so my deal the is... Underside. I think my deal is about a 1%er, right? What I'm talking about happening
mine's
is
a
1% chance. Yours is a 0% chance.
Still be cool.
But, yeah, you could make that thing a lot more pretty. I would just extend that awning all the way down to cover all the fans and do what Sneed's talking about, putting some the campus-style brick around that. I think it'd look beautiful. Put the field below ground level, then put a wind block on the south side. That's Eric on Wheels, who goes to every game. This is an out-of-the-box question, Tech Hoops guy, but I love it. Question for Haxton. Would he take an Oklahoma State National Championship in football if it meant his wife permanently gained 40 pounds? Yes.
No.
Now, she wouldn't take that.
No, she wouldn't. She has done significant
work. She lost 50. Yeah. She's like, wait, you're going to put all that back on? Yes. Yes.
Actually, she would lose more weight. What are you, 240, 250?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 290.
290. She'd lose 290 pounds at that point.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
I was trying to be nice there, Haxton.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I would have not, pegged you for 290.
Yeah. I'm a large dude.
Large and in charge.
Will Media Day be broadcast live? No, we'll just harvest the audio and bring it back.
Trust me, you don't want us covering it live.
No.
There's a lot of waiting for our turn to talk to the person for about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't control when that 5 minutes is because we're waiting in line.
Yeah, that's what I was reminiscing with Clint about, just kind of the evolution of media days and, you know, how when I interned and I think my first year working here, it was, you know, you're put up in a suite on the east side, I think,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, whole shebang, rotating cast of characters coming through. And then it drifted to We're going to do a thing in the Sport Performance Center live. We're going to have interviews with the guys on the shows, blah, blah, blah. And then now here we are, you know, got just tables and set up like that.
Padre is coming into town this weekend, so I got us a tour of the Womble. He's pretty giddy. Ha ha.
There you go.
I may see you over there because my brother's coming into town and he's not been there. So we're going to try to get some shots up over there.
Benefits of being on the broadcast team. Do you have a key to get in?
No. It's not a key. It's a fingerprint scanner.
Are you on the fingerprint scanner?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I'm so far away from ever that.
Talk to Taylor Sinclair.
We had a media availability for the women's side there. And normally they've got somebody sitting at the desk to let people in. I was outside for 5 minutes waiting to get in. And it was like 105 degrees. It was not cold.
Yeah. 5'8 and 290. Good grief. I'm 6 feet tall. Jeez. Let's see.
Beefy. I think that's what you're supposed to say there, right?
K-State will be a really tough out. They had six or so players on the all-conference team. That's for Baylor, Eric. Yeah, don't overlook Kansas State. Mm-hmm. Now, where we're going to find out a lot about this is Adrian Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world does he look like in purple and silver?
Yeah, I think, I guess my K-State confidence comes from the fact how you just choked that game away in the second half.
That got them going. You know, yep. They won, what, 9 games last year? I know they had 8. I don't know about their bowl.
They won their bowl game against a quarterbackless LSU, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I think they played LSU.
All right.
That does it for us, Axe.
That is it.
We have nothing left to give.
I hate it when big tweets come in at the end of the show. All right, that's going to be it for us. Thanks to Lucas, Zach, Jefe McGuire. I'm Jefe Hackstone. The bottom line is coming up with the one, the only, Clint the Viking Scott and Sneedaroo. Hey, thanks for listening to us. We appreciate it. We'll get you one more time tomorrow. Talk to you then.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.